You're listening to Hailing Frequency, the internet's first podcast dedicated to Star Trek gaming. This is episode... Episode 59. That's what I meant to say. Episode 59. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Hailing Frequency. Kineas Nova, are you there?
Howdy, folks.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Excellent. And also joining us today, we have Athos with us. Are you there, Athos?
Yes, I am. Good morning, everyone. Or afternoon, depending where you're at.
Or even evening, maybe. We have people from multiple time zones tuned in right now. Multiple planets. Well, maybe. I don't know if the internet, believe it to be true. Okay. Alright, I'll believe it. Let's run through what we've got coming up on this week's show. So, first of all, Case One Indra is going to be bringing us all of the latest Star Trek gaming news. She is back this week.
Alright, then we're going to cover the most recent Star Trek Online updates.
We have an exclusive interview with Cryptic Studios' Head of Community Relations, Nicole Hamlet.
Arwen?
I don't remember.
I think it's Awen.
Awen.
And also, we're going to speak to Athos later. He's going to tell us a little bit about the Lotus Fleet Academy. Athos, you're the commander of the Academy, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
That is correct. So, just before we move on to the Star Trek gaming news, which is obviously the first thing that we do every show, let's just cover how you can contact us during this show. Kineas, your contact information, please.
This is for folks that use Skype and you want to call into the show. Kineas01, add that to Skype.
Okay, and my Skype ID is hailing.frequency. So if anybody, again, wants to appear on the show, just add hailing.frequency. Nova, do you want to give your one out as well?
Sure, mine's LRD Nova.
So if you just contact any one of the three of us, then we'll be able to help you through. I just want to apologize.
Best thing to do is just work with us in the shout box, though. If you want to shout something out, we'll try to get it on the air.
Yeah, we have the shout box up and running, and if anybody of you think is a little bit small, hit the enlarge shout box button, which has recently appeared next to the history button. And you'll get a nice big version of the shout box. That was a cool little feature that I've implemented in the past few days.
Yeah, that's nice. That's very nice.
Yeah, took a little bit of work to get that one up and running, but I think for people like Star Dagger who complain that the text is too small, I think it's gonna help them. So that said, we're gonna go over to the Star Trek gaming news now. We'll run that. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Good day, Star Trek gamers. This is Case One Indra, and welcome to the Star Trek Gaming News for episode 59 of Hailing Frequency, covering the period from January 10th, 2009, until January 22nd of 2009. Starting off this show with the latest Star Trek Online news. Cryptic Studios have launched the next competition for Star Trek Online, which gives North American residents the opportunity to win a slot in the Star Trek Online beta. On the STO website, Arwen posted the following. Part of the adventure that comes from exploring strange new worlds is discovering that planet's history and hearing the stories of the inhabitants. Imagine you have just entered orbit around the planet pictured here. Your mind races with the possibilities of what you will find. What is the planet's name? What or who lives there? Are they peaceful or antagonistic? Welcoming or outright hostile? Are they long gone, leaving only more mysteries to solve? Tell us about the planet shown here, as well as on the Planet Exploration Contest rules page. you can tell a story of daily life of the inhabitants, make a scientific survey log entry, or weave any type of tale you choose. Email your story of up to 500 words at contest@crypticstudios.com by January 29th, 2009. Doesn't give you guys a lot of time, so you better get moving on it. In other STO news, Craig Zinkovich recently sat down for an interview with German website Eurogamer.de. The interview revealed a few pieces of new information and a new screenshot, and it's well worth checking out. Visit www.hailingfrequency.co.uk to read the English translation of this interview. The STO website was most recently updated with the latest edition of Meet the Team, where we get to learn about the game's executive producer, Craig Zinkovich, and his goat. We learn about his career history, favorite Trek captain, favorite Trek episode, and the origins of his goat. You know, they use goat a lot in curry. I like curry. Curry's good. We also learn about some of the more technical parts of the game, and we learn the current size of the dev team, which is said to be about 40 strong. Check out the entire article at www.hailingfrequency.co.uk/boards. Now, on to fan games and modding. Owners of the hit game Sins of a Solar Empire will be happy to know that a new version of the Star Trek Sacrifice of Angels 2 mod have been released. This new version adds the Dominion, Cardassians, and Breen as playable races along with the Federation and Klingon races, which were already available. The Romulan Star Empire is also playable in this version. Download the latest version of this mod on our downloads website at downloads.hailingfrequency.co.uk and view screenshots at gallery.hailingfrequency.co.uk. Or visit the official mod website at www.moddb.com/mods/star-trek-sacrifice-of-angels-2. The Aftermath team for Legacy have posted their first update for 2009. This year, Aftermath enters a new phase. Throughout the year, you will see Aftermath make a shift to darker themes, which will be found throughout the mod in areas such as maps, ships, missions, and more. Aftermath is now coming into its second year of development, and we have many surprises in store. Beginning with January, we have Add-on Pack D coming out at the end of the month. Also, we have the first recompile of Aftermath 2.0 that will include all the add-on packs released since late last year. That would be add-on packs A through D. Apart from the normal mod downloads, we will start introducing media-based downloads throughout 2009 as well. You will be able to download videos, picture packs, and wallpapers from the downloads area. There may be other special downloads throughout the year too. For 2009, our team has expanded yet again. We have introduced two new team members since last year and a new partnership with another mod team. Our new team members are Acid Flux Base and Jay Picard from Team Experience. Not only do we have two new team members, but we have started a partnership with the mod team Team Experience, who created mods for Legacy and Bridge Commander. The partnership will see the two teams work with each other in development of Aftermath and TE-based projects, resource sharing, and training in areas of legacy modding. We have found these partnerships in the past beneficial to all. Our previous partnerships include OEM, NewGen, and the TLG modding teams. Content made by Acid Flux Base and Jay Picard will start to filter out starting with Add-on Pack D. With new maps, ships, missions, textures, and more to come for 09, this will be one massive year for Aftermath. Check out the Aftermath thread on the Hailing Frequency forum for more information, or visit www.theaftermathmod.star-trek-games.com. This concludes the Star Trek Gaming News for this edition of Hailing Frequency. If you have any gaming news which you would like to include in the next edition of the STGN, simply head on over to hailingfrequency.co.uk/boards and post it in the latest gaming news forum section. This has been K-Swanindra, and now I hand you back over to Zach, Kineas, and Nova.
Star Trek Gaming News.
Have you ever wondered what it was like to have a fulfilling gaming experience? Have you ever wondered about the workings of a warp core or want to know more about modern medicine of the 24th century? Find out more information today at lotusfleet.com/academy.htm and apply today.
Under the ruined moon of Praxis, life as a Klingon can be a brutal one.
You will either live a Klingon with the strength to hold your own against the world, or die a Klingon fighting the elements.
But even on the Klingon homeworld, there are three universal constants. Motherhood.
Be gone, for I do not want to set eyes on you unless you hold our son alive in your arms.
Fatherhood.
This is the only gift I can give you. The chance of a short life and an honorable death.
And inheritance.
Then so be it. This feud must end now before the blood of more innocents is spilled.
Tales of Death and Honor. Fan-produced audio flash fiction. Books 2 and 3 coming this Christmas. A Silver Tongue production from the House of Lostock.
I think I kind of cut that off. It should have been from the House of Lostock. I'm sorry. I was a little bit too eager to start this background music. Is everybody still there with me?
Yep, we're
here. Right here.
Excellent. Excellent.
You know, that's a really, really cool advert. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to that advert.
The Tales of Death and Honor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
fantastic.
That is a fantastic advert. And, you know, Kirok of Lostock, the guy who does that advert and that fan fiction, he's been a long-time listener and long-time supporter of Hailing Frequency. He's from the TrekUnited.com website, and he's always posting our stuff over there, sending in adverts. He's participated in the last two Christmas specials. So, yeah, he's been around for ages. He's a great guy. So definitely check out that Star Trek audio series once it's out. I think it is out already, actually. Right, I'm just going to fade out this background music. Hold on. Let's fade that out. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay. So, the first thing we're going to talk about in this week's show is the recent Eurogamer.de interview with Craig Zinkovich, the executive producer of Star Trek Online. It was a very, very interesting interview, and we also got a couple of new screenshots with it as well. And Sarah Vok, who is one of our forum members and another long-time supporter, was kind enough to translate that from German into English for everyone to read. It was a very, very thorough interview. Quite a few bits of new information in there. And so we're just going to go through that now. So first of all, Nova, what were your thoughts about the interview? What were the bits that stood out to you, you know, information-wise?
All in all, I thought it was a very good interview. You know, a lot of it was very emotion-based. You know, how do you feel, you know, about, you know, kind of being the guy that's going to bring, you know, the Star Trek universe to the masses? You know, I thought that was, you know, it was very comforting to see somebody who was humble, you know, in his presentation of his interpretation of the Star Trek universe. You know, the one thing as far as gameplay that did continue to stick out in my mind was, you know, once again, of course, the old conflict between the Federation and the Klingons, and even more importantly, the presentation in which episodes will be presented to the players within the game. You know, I've always kind of been really curious as to how that would be done. You know, do you do you pick up a mission from Starfleet Command and then just continue on and travel the entire, you know, gaming universe to accomplish that mission in some capacity or another? Or is there going to be some type of, you know, presentation in which, you know, you're kind of falling into a traditional Star Trek episode that we, you know, that we're used to seeing, and that, you know, you move from one area into the next, and it's kind of a mystery that's unraveling as you are constantly fulfilling these different, you know, subquests or you know, or sub goals, you know, if you will. So, you know, it is kind of interesting. You know, beyond that, you know, it seems to me that a lot of the same general information is, you know, still there, reiterating this, you know, the actual information that has already been given out. It's good to see that, you know, we're probably going to see some type of Bajorans in there, considering it's built into their character creator and things like that. So all in all, you know, it was a very good interview. You know, hopefully in the coming months we'll get a little bit more, you know, in terms of actual gameplay and game structure, you know, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I have to admit, the episode system that we've heard about many, many times now, it is something that I'm, like you said, I'm personally am very interested to see it, and I think every fan of Star Trek Online is going to be very interested to see that system. I mean, if anything, it's a bit of a diversion from the normal type of structure that you see in MMOs, because you'll normally get some missions that are short, some missions that are long. And, you know, one mission will typically take place in the same kind of area. Whereas with this episode system they're talking about, you know, potentially missions will start on your ship, you'll go down to a planet or over to another ship or a space station, do something there, then, you know, maybe being back to your ship, or, you know, you're just going to be jumping through locations. You know, all missions are going to be, you know, a minimum sort of length, you know, and then some missions will probably be a bit longer, like double episode length or triple episode length. So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, no, I was just going to say, so I'm very interested to see that system, and I hope that we see some more videos about that soon.
Yeah. Now, there was actually one other aspect of the actual interview that, you know, I was relieved to see. And basically the question was, are there naming restrictions on ships or characters? And basically, Craig comes back and says, of course, we will have normal filters of obscene words and to protect the IP.
Yeah, so there thank won't God. Be
millions of Jean-Luc Picards flying around. You know, I am so incredibly happy that that's the case. Because, you know, if very I saw Jean-Luc Picard 11134898 56, you know, it would be incredibly annoying. You know, it seems to happen more often than not in MMOs, and I'm glad that they're considering that as some type of, you know, filter. So
yeah. Hey, Athos, what do you think about that, the episode system specifically, and, you know, just anything else about that interview?
You know, well, I was glancing over this, and a few things popped out to me, a few things different than what's been mentioned. You know, the naming thing is just awesome. You know, we can kind of come up with our own names, and you know, if it's very, very easy to go out and find interesting names that are not so common, you know, on Google, the Wikipedia, stuff like that. You know, look up names for mountains or volcanoes, and you'll find a lot of good stuff. You know, I like the fact that it looks like your character and your ship can be modifiable. You can upgrade to make it stronger or faster. Also, what stuck out to me was, and I think this has been in previously mentioned interviews before, was the coloring scheme. So if you're in a fleet, you know, you could have fleet colors. Not to say that somebody else that's not part of the fleet could use the same thing, but, you know, that's kind of interesting to see that. So if you can imagine, you know, a fleet of ships dropping out of warp and people instantly recognize, oh boy, this is whatever fleet because of their colors. You know, that's kind of cool. You know, also the bit about the aliens, I read in there that, you know, you're going to see familiar, less familiar, and then obviously brand new alien races. I kind of consider myself an explorer at heart. I like to see, you know, some familiar, but also some brand new. And I think that extends to the worlds as well, the way they describe how the engine is going to work. Yeah. So that's kind of what stuck out to me.
Yeah. And A couple of other things about the interview. We got some more elaboration or some more reconfirmation about the space battles. Someone asked, will space battles be action-oriented or more like the strategic or the old strategic SFC games? And Craig answered, yes, space battles are slow and strategic. One should consider things like position of the ship, energy distribution, or best use of weapons and skills. Energy distribution, for example, one can transfer energy to different systems to raise its effectiveness. When weapons are made stronger, phasers can fire longer and do more damage. If you send more energy to propulsion, the ship will move faster. But to obtain these speed boosts, some other area of the ship will have to make do with less energy. So I was glad to hear a little bit of more elaboration on that. I think there was not much there that we hadn't heard before, but still, it was good to hear it again. It's good to hear that the case has not changed on that.
That's encouraging too. That's encouraging too. I mean, we get a strategic based, battle. It sounds like you're going to have a chance to actually, plan out the fight. You're going to be able to adjust all that stuff. Have time to do that instead of having to do it on the fly.
Yeah.
And then of course later, for those that like to have more fast-paced interaction and fast-paced battles, the ground-based battles. It says it's a very action-oriented, run-and-gun battle experience.
Yes.
Implementing long-range and close combat as well as martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting to see. You'll have two different types of
combat,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing I got to wonder, though, is if you max out your impulse engines and you continue to max them out for a long period of time, will they eventually take damage? Just like with weapons?
I sure hope so. Now we're talking simulation territory.
Yes. Well, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, it seems logical that, if you max out your power distribution, that eventually, wear and tear on your ship will start to happen.
Mm-hmm. The one other aspect of that interview that piqued my curiosity and my interest, they gave a little bit more, or he gave a little bit more information about how the ship, how NPCs and ship crews are going to be handled. Every ship needs a crew, and to that end, you'll be able to have NPC crews or NPC pets, I think that he called them, that you can train over time, give them additional skills so that they're better at managing certain parts of your ship. I mean, of course we all want ships to be powered by real crews. Of course that's what a lot of us would like to see. But if we can't have that at launch, then I'm glad that they seem to be putting in a good NPC system for the game. And, you never know, maybe they'll add ship crews in later, or maybe they have got them planned for launch and they're just keeping it, under a lot of secrecy. I mean, you really never know with this type of game. Kanish, you've been suspiciously quiet. For this,
I'm hanging out with all the other ships out there, just monitoring communications. Love it.
Okay, so do you have any specific comments beyond the simulation territory?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If there's one topic I love talking about, it's the possibility of the way that they're going to deliver episodic content in the game and possibly even live events. So Craig does mention down in the article that what they can do with live events could be interesting. And I'm always still hoping for the television show MMO tie-in kind of live event. So anyway, that really caught my attention.
Yeah, yeah. I think and I hope that we're going to get some more information about the episode content system. Ideally, the most ideal way to get a feel for that system would be a video. And we have heard that the Cryptic Studios are planning to release some more STO videos in the coming weeks and months. So, here's hoping that we see a video for the episodic content system. Just a run through of one mission in the game using that content system would be, I think it would be priceless to see. And I think that it would give people so much more confidence in the game. Because if there's one thing that we can still say about this game is that a lot of people are still very skeptical about what the final product is going to be like. So, I hope that I hope that that system, among others, is something that we see in the upcoming or in any upcoming videos. Did either of you guys have any final comments? Any of you guys on that article?
Well, there was actually the mention of time travel.
Oh yes, I completely forgot about that. Time travel and the Kobayashi Maru. Yeah, the Kobayashi Maru. How could you do a Star Trek game of this scale without having the Kobayashi Maru? Seriously.
Atlas, I'm going to let you take this one because you are a professional Kobayashi Maru simulator.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, very much.
We do have a Kobayashi Maru RP-7 for the Academy, which one of our cadets have taken. It's been very entertaining and for me to kind of interact with this cadet and building. The beauty of it is, you know, I can give input scenarios. Here's your starting status. You know, this is what you're seeing, this is what you're doing. But after that, it's an interaction between two people to build the episode. So even if I gave three people the same starting status, it's not going to be the same story at the end. And, you know, hopefully it'll be something like that on this system because, you know, other people have commented that, you know, have read this Kobayashi Maru RP Sim on our forums, and they've even found it entertaining just to read it. So, having Kobayashi Maru it's a staple of Star Trek. I mean, I think we've seen it pretty much mentioned through every series and, you know, in the movies. So, you know, having that no-win situation and how you're going to react, you know, that's just integrated into the world of Trek.
Yeah, and on the Kobayashi Maru for a second, it's worth noting that over on the official STO forums, Arwen has started a thread recently about the Kobayashi Maru. She's put in kind of a role-play scenario there, and she's inviting people to give some solutions to the scenario. It's not the traditional Kobayashi Maru, but it does seem to be quite a difficult situation that she's presented there. And there's a lot of people posting in that thread over on the STO forums.
There's some great stuff in there.
Some great answers, yeah, I was just going to say that.
There's some awful funny stuff in there, too, like Chuck Norris has made an appearance.
Chuck Norris?
Yeah, Chuck Norris in a Kobayashi Maru situation, yeah.
You're in command of your starship and a boarding party comes aboard and Chuck Norris is leading it. What do you do?
Yeah, Awen said there were no wrong answers, so having Chuck Norris in your answer is, you know, yeah, that's creative.
I liked your answer to that one, Caneus, with all the mines and the scatterpacks and the wild weasel and everything you've got.
Starfleet Command.
Mm-hmm. Totally Starfleet Command. Okay.
So, actually touching on the time travel subject really quickly.
Yes.
You know, I did want to note that in City of Heroes, City of Villains, they have time travel. And it is presented in a dynamic zone where essentially you walk through a time portal of sorts and you go back in time and everything looks much older, much newer, as if it was recently built. And there is a battle between heroes and villains that takes place inside of this zone. And basically it's a battle for Paragon City. And what takes place is as heroes continue to take control over different areas of this zone, the game zone begins to change and look more heroic and look as if things are peaceful and good. And as villains continue to come in and take over more areas of the zone, the game zone itself begins to change. The buildings, the sky, the actual giant statues that are there begins to change and look run down, and more dirt and trash and things appear, and there are flags from the villains that appear and things get destroyed, and the citizens look more worn down and just angry and upset and things like that.
I did not know that they had time travel in City of Heroes / Villains. And, you know, that's very reassuring to hear because it means that they have experience doing it. And it means that, by the sounds of it, they're going to be able to pull it off inside STO, you know, in a very good and interesting way. And if anything, maybe a bit of a simpler way because, you know, they're not going to have to contest with making buildings look newer or older, you know, because you're in space most of the time. So that's very good to hear. I'm very enthused to hear that. I'm very happy.
It's always nice to see how serious the Cryptic Studios is taking the development of Star Trek Online. You know, they seem to be really researching quite a bit, you know, from the episodes to the books to really anything they can get their hands on that'll give them ideas or establish the canon, stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. Okay, then. We are going to take a quick break now and run another fleet radio. I know that everyone listening is probably waiting for the Awen interview, and we're going to be running that in about half an hour's time. So stay tuned for that. So I'm going to run the next fleet radio now, probably a couple of adverts after that. So we'll be back in 4 to 5 minutes. Stay tuned, everybody.
Fleet radio.
The situation in the United Federation of Planets has not changed much in the last week. Though we did get our first bit of news from our first field reporter for the UFP media, it reads, "This is Candace Wall reporting from Myra, a new town on Cardassia Prime. This town is a symbol of how Cardassia is divided. There are many people, mostly former and current government and military officials, that want the true way. That is a return to the government before the Dominion War. There's another movement of people called Aurelians. Hope I got that right. Their leaders are war veterans who feel tainted by the blood. Their most zealous members are war orphans. Although the old laws and customs about orphans have died, there is much bitterness. Members of the True Way accuse the Aurelians of tricking the youth. The Aurelians say that the failures of the Cardassian Union is a result of turning their backs on the gods. Both sides can't agree on one issue. The Bajorans' grudge holding must stop. We can only guess what happens next."
So, Commander, I was wanting to run a couple of simulations to help the crew ready before we get into battle. Any suggestions?
Yeah, I could use some polish on my tactical skills, too. Don't get much call for phase pistols in engineering.
I am not aware of anything from my training on Vulcan that would be applicable to this crew, but a simulation that I encountered on Earth while at Starfleet might suit your needs.
Do tell.
Oh, it's not the same trainer for first-year cadets, is it?
Yeah, we do have some skill in that area. Maybe not as much as the High Command, but we can hold our own.
I believe it would be suitable. For it even challenged me when I first attempted it. However slightly.
Do tell.
It is called Star Trek Enterprise Temporal Cold War. A first-person simulation that follows a vessel full of intrepid crewmen through several missions against known and unknown alien species, all the while trying to save a planet from being wiped from the current timeline. Which, as we know, is absurd, as time travel is impossible.
Sounds familiar. Not sure why.
Yeah, it has a I've been here before sort of feeling.
If you want to know more, it is on the Starfleet database at enterprise-tcw.com.
Well, sounds like we have our training sorted for the crew over the next couple of months. I have to be back at the armory. I'll check out some of the simulations. Thank you, Sub-Commander.
Yeah. I got some injectors to align, I'm sure of it.
And I, too, have some important work to do on the bridge. Remember, enterprise-tcw.com. And we will see you on the forum soon.
Listening to Hailing Frequency, the hottest podcast on the internet.
Okay, we're back. And that was a very interesting fleet radio, Caneus. I'm not sure what to think about that one. I liked the intro, though. It was a good intro on that fleet radio.
Seemed to fit.
I'm sorry?
The song seemed to fit.
Indeed it did. Nova, Athos, are you still there?
We are.
Yes, we are.
Athos, you didn't sound too short there for a second. It was like that. Okay. Alright, so we're back from that break, and we are now going to talk about the latest Meet the Team segment, which was posted on January 21st, in which we get to meet Craig Zinkovich, the executive producer of Star Trek Online. Let's fade out this music. Fading, there we go. So, there's not a whole lot in this Meet the Team in the way of new game information. There's a lot about Craig himself that lets us to see what type of person he is. And we get a little bit of technical information. A little bit of technical information about the game. We also learn the team size, working on STO currently. So we're going to cover all of that. So let's just run through this on a question-by-question basis quickly. So, Nova, the first question for Craig was, you know, what does he do in STO? Do you want to cover his answer on that one?
Sure. Well, what does he do? Well, he's the executive producer on STO, so he's the head honcho, the big guy in charge. There's actually on the STO boards, or actually on the STO front page, there's a picture of the guy. Mm-hmm. He started out playing, it looks like he started out playing... or actually developing City of Heroes, and I want to guess, I'm not 100% sure, but I want to guess that you know, he was actually one of the heroes that was in the game as well. Unfortunately, I can't remember his name. Maybe our community might know. He was the individual, he was the scientist that was inside of this sort of power suit, and I believe his character's NPC was located at Independence Port. So if anybody wants to take a wild guess, I believe that's who Craig was inside of COH. Okay. As we all know, you know, all of the developers had some sort of alternate persona inside of COH. So it's always interesting to see that.
Okay. His favorite Star Trek character is Spock. He doesn't like talking about himself, generally. And in Star Trek, the alien races that intrigued him most were races like the Breen, the Bolians, the Andorians, and races like that. If he could have a profession in the 25th century, he would just like to go out and explore, point your ship at some place and go. He says that's really appealing, which is good to know, because as executive producer of STO, obviously he's going to want to focus a lot on exploration. You know, some people worried that they might focus a little bit too much on combat, so, you know, maybe not. His favourite episode of Star Trek. Oh, I've lost it. Where is that?
The Inner Light.
The Inner Light. Yeah. What a
good
show. What a prolific episode.
Favorite episode, actually. Yeah, a lot of people's favourite.
Indeed.
I love
yeah.
the flute music from it.
Yeah, who doesn't? He got a goat because it came with the house.
Now, I just recently sold my house, and you know, it's like you leave things with the house, like a mower, a weed mm-hmm. whacker, a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get a goat?
A goat. You know, can we confirm that the goat actually came with the house? I've got a sneaking feeling that I don't know. I think the goat may have come with him.
Maybe he just doesn't want to admit it. Yeah.
Yes.
So later on, after the Meet the Team was posted, some other folks posted that they'd like to ask him that they'd like him to answer some more technical questions.
I like these, yeah.
And I think these are the ones that were actually. I think these three technical questions were more interesting than the Meet the Team itself. The first one was, what development methodology are you using? Where Craig answered, we use whatever methodology fits the task, and he doesn't subscribe to forcing a single methodology onto every aspect of the project. For content, they're using more of a Scrum Agile methodology. For critters and powers, it's closer to Waterfall. The workload for different departments doesn't match up so well. Game systems, that department has their own method too, so for each piece of the game, you know, they have their own methodology. And the other interesting question was, how many people are on the team right now? And he answered, I'm thinking it will top out at around 40 people on the dev team, not counting quality assurance, core engineering, or any of the fine people in publishing. What's OCR?
You know, and that just blows my mind, Zach. It really does.
It blows your mind in the well, that's too big way, or in the, you know, few, that's...
Well, here's a game that has a budget of, you know, probably $50 to $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game that could potentially bring in $800 million in the first year, work its way up towards possibly, keep your fingers crossed, towards WoW levels, $69 million a month, and it's got a team of 40 people. You know, I keep thinking about things like what it took to develop something like Disney World for, you know, the same amount of money, and thousands of people were employed, and it's just so weird that just such a small number of people are working on it.
I'm sorry.
Well, see, take a look at it at this point. What he's actually talking about is these are 40 people that are dedicated just to Star Trek Online. You know, like he said, that's not counting the engineers, that's not counting the rest of the individuals that he actually listed. So it could be upwards of 100 people that at any given time are working on Champions, their new secret project, as well as STO, but there are 40 people dedicated to just STO. That's their life, that's their blood, that's their focus.
And the leadership aspect behind this is, if you have a team like that, it encourages buy-in from each member. They feel like, you know, they are personally connected to the project. They are personally dedicated to the project. So really your overall quality is going to be much, much higher from each individual than, say, and he even mentions this, if you have a 300-person dev team, you know, you're not going to be able to know everyone. You're not going to be interact with a team this size. Everyone knows everyone's job, and if they need help or if they have questions or suggestions, they know exactly who to go to.
And just like what Jack said, in Las Vegas, you know, one of the benefits that they have is that the game engine is already developed. So they don't need people to build the game engine and then build the game. They're basically building the game and snapping that into the game engine and making it work and massaging it and, you know, and really adjusting it to fit the expectations of the people who are going to be playing the game. So I wouldn't expect a overarching large crew to be necessary in focusing on STO.
Thanks for that segue about Vegas. We had I had a chance to meet Craig out there, and just due to time, we didn't have a chance to get the interview, but we're going to try to make up for that and have an interview with him shortly. So I will follow up on that question on, you know, well, exactly how many people are working on this?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. You know, and you can't really argue with the results. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, 40 is not enough. But, you know, let's just remember that at this time last year, Cryptic Studios were only just getting their hands on the design documents and the rights to make this game from Perpetual Entertainment. You know, this time last year, we as the community had just heard that the game had been transferred to another developer, and we weren't really sure what was going on. You know, behind the scenes, you know, me and Caneas were in contact with Cryptic, and, you know, as I say, they only just got their hands on the rights from Perpetual and the design document, and they told us that they were probably not going to be using that design document at all. And in the space of 7 months, they were able to get to Vegas, announce the game, show us a 2 or 3 minute trailer. And then since August, we've seen over a dozen new screenshots where we're seeing that the quality of the game seems to be improving screenshot by screenshot. You know, most recently we had a new screenshot with the Eurogamer DE interview of some kind of desert planet, which was a huge screenshot, over 3,000 pixels tall. And what an amazing screenshot that was, you know, just in terms of the quality. So if you put it into perspective, they've been developing this game for, you know, probably less than 12 months now. Let's say they picked it up in January and were able to start developing it on, you know, February the 1st. You know, so it's been less than a year at this point, and we're already talking about release dates of autumn 2009 and betas and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, if they've had 40 people on it from the beginning and this is where they are where they are already, then can we really argue with the results there? You know, I think they're doing a great job.
Maybe. Well, I guess we'll find out. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I've always just expected that this would, you know, it'd be much more of a, you know, a AAA Hollywood level kind of staff, you know,
who says it still can't be? I mean, of course.
Yeah. And again, we don't know. And I'll follow up on that.
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably have a much clearer idea on this in, I would say, as soon as a month. You know, we've heard that they're going to be releasing some new videos soon, and, you know, videos speak of 10,000 words, you know, so I think we're going to start to get a better idea of exactly where they are at this point in as little as 4 weeks, you know, and definitely no more than 2 months. So I think they're making good progress with 40 people, you know, and so I think that's really all there is to say on that. On to our next subject. We were sent over a render of the STO flagship a couple of days ago, which has been posted on the forums. I think it also materialized on MMORPG.com, and it allowed us to get a very, very close look at the ship, you know, to see some of the details in it. It's the NX class that was recently released in the Ships of the Line. The Sovereign refit versus new ship debate is still rolling on very fiercely on the official forums and on our forums too. But all I can really say is that after seeing the render, I think we can see very clearly that it's a very nice ship. I still don't like the pod that they've put between the nacelles, but I mean it appears to have a little bit more substance now than
it's a guest house.
It's a guest house.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Have we seen different angles of the ship?
I'm sorry?
Have we seen different angles of the ship that can kind of tell us what that pod is?
We haven't.
Specifically?
We haven't really, no, but looking at the new render, it seems to be either a weapons pod or an impulse engine, maybe some kind of science labs, or it could be a combination of all three.
Used to bring the back end of the nacelles in and out, flare them at different angles for different warp bubbles.
Maybe. But
that's a good point.
But, I mean, it does appear to be quite large, pod, and it's got quite a bit of substance to it. It doesn't seem to be anything that's going to fall off too easily if it gets hit by a phaser shot. So,
no, Zach.
Yeah.
Looking at this ship, I just kind of want to point out something specific. Looking at this ship, let's assume that this ship was built with their ship designer, you know, with their actual ship designer. I've got to say that this must be an incredibly robust system, because if you look at all of the sections of this ship, the primary hull, the secondary hull, the nacelles, the pylons, even this pod, it does a very, very good job at mashing those pieces together and looking and making them look as if, you know, a professional actually built the ship. You know, that somebody like, can you help me here? That somebody, Okuda?
Mike Okuda. There we go.
actually designed the ship.
Oh, I think John Eaves was the one last heard, still providing some ship design.
Oh, really? Yeah, so.
So it might be a John Eaves.
Excellent. Yeah, so I mean, going into the game, you know, all of us are going to have the opportunity to build Starship, you know, Star Trek starships by our own design, our own imagination, things like that. And I think, based on what I'm seeing here, and I'm hoping that it's going to do an incredibly good job at making all those pieces fit and making the ship look as if it actually belongs to the Star Trek universe.
Yeah, that's... I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's exactly what I was going to mention as well. I mean, if you look at the nacelle pylons and just everything like, you know, the nacelle pylons, the saucer section, and, you know, segments of the ship like that, I mean, it does look like something that's come out of their ship customization system that we've seen demonstrated in the new screenshots from December. So, I mean, if they've been able to build a system that merges the ship components together so, you know, flawlessly, then, you know, like you said, it's going to be quite an amazing system to experiment with. On the flip side, you know, I hope it doesn't let people make completely audacious, you know, unrealistic, unflyable ship designs. You know, I hope that they've got some rules on it.
I hope that there is some simulation, and if you design it wrong, it's just gonna go all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, something tells me they have parameters, like you can't launch your ship because you forgot to put impulse engines on it or something like that. You know,
yeah,
that would be funny.
So I mean, I think between the episode system and the ship customization system, I mean, these are two aspects that I very, very dearly want to get some more information on. And I think that come our interview with Craig Zinkovich, which we're hoping is going to be in February sometime, I think we're going to put these questions to him and try and get some more information about these systems, because, you know, it definitely warrants some elaboration. It definitely warrants some more information. And, you know, I think that by giving out just a little bit of new information, you know, it could reduce the fears of a lot of people, you know, about aspects of the game that they're worried about. So I think the ship customization is one of the things that people are most worried about. Also, the character customization system and the color system as well. And I have to admit, until today's show, I was a bit worried about the coloring system for ships as well. But Nova, you gave us a very good potential use of the system earlier on in this show for, you know, for fleets and guilds, you know, to recognize them as they drop out of warp. So I'm very interested to get more information. I don't have anything bad to say about the game based on the new information that we've had recently. And with that said, I think it's time for us to move into another break. And I think once we return, we'll be able to run the Arwen interview that everybody's been waiting for.
Yeah.
I think everybody's been waiting to hear that. We've got quite a few people listening to the live stream at the moment, and I guess they're all waiting for that. So unless you guys have any final comments to make about any of the STO stuff that we've just talked about.
Do you really want to hold the community up from listening to the developer interview?
No. I'd say let's engage here.
They might take out the nooses and the pitchforks.
No. Wait a little bit longer. Save it. Wait for it.
Okay. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to run another fleet radio, not a very long one, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and then we will run the interview that we did with Awen, and we will see you all on the other side. So stay tuned for just another 2 or 3 minutes, folks, and then you've got your interview. Here we go.
This is an audio submission for the Cryptic Planetary Exploration Contest.
Radio.
UFP Militia reports that it has discovered a class-wide demon planet where a derelict Miranda-class Starfleet ship that had been reported missing was found. An away team recovered the logs and discovered that the ship had become lost and marooned in the sector over 200 years ago. There was no ability for this ship to contact support. Starfleet had no idea where they were, and the warp speed technology of the time was unable to get them to the nearest help. The crew, destined to die, had discovered an advanced race of microbial beings whose civilization was on the brink of extinction due to famine. The impending demise of the crew created mass riots on board the starship, and those killed, wounded, or incarcerated were dispatched to the class-wide demon planet to become the sustaining food supply for this microbial civilization. All crew, the captain, and officers eventually met the same fate. The ship's captain was the only surviving member. Only his head remained alive, and it was attached to a spider-like mechanical body. A militia away team was attacked and to become more food until they were able to buy some time by making the captain remember who he was by showing him his old ship videos of himself and then showing this captain proof of the new warp engine technology that could get food to that civilization and open diplomatic ties. This song opens with the away team beaming down and is told from the point of view of the surviving starship captain.
Fleet Radio.
Don't turn around. Don't make a sound. Drift away. I don't know. Don't tell yourself that this will go away. But today I turned around to look and it was me.
Okay, folks, so we're back from that break. And here is the moment that you've all been waiting for. We're being joined by Nicole Hamlet, or Arwen, who is the lead community relations person from Cryptic Studios. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problems, it's great to have you here. So, first of all, do you prefer Nicole or Arwen?
You can call me whatever you're comfortable with. My previous community called me Awen a lot, and it's actually Gaelic, so it's Aven. But Nicole works just fine.
So, just out of curiosity, what was your previous community? You just brought it up. I'm just curious to know what it was.
I was the community manager for Junkie Devolution, that devil's sci-fi MMO action.
So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how your interest in Star Trek has gotten you to where you are at the moment?
I can't tell you how excited I am to be on this project. As far as I can remember, I've been a Star Trek fan. My dad made me watch the original series with him, you know, as much as it was possibly on. So, when Next Generation came on, I was a little bit older, and I think I got it more. And it really, really spoke to me in volume about how wonderful, you know, the human race could become. And who doesn't want to explore space, right? I mean, it's so huge and cool. When I found out that Cryptic had taken over the Star Trek license, I was really excited because they'd come out with City of Heroes and City of Villains, and they were really excellent games. So it really, really excited me. And I had a friend who worked here who told me that they were looking for community people and asked me if I would apply. So I did, thinking, oh, I'll never get this job because it's too cool. There's no way in the world that they would possibly hire me because I went badly, and sure enough, they did. I cannot tell you how exciting it is to be on this project. Craig Zinkovich is the most amazing executive producer. He and Al Rivera, who is our creative director, have this really cool vision for where this game needs to go, and they're getting it done.
Who do you feel is the most influential captain in the world of Star Trek, and why?
Who is the most influential captain in the Star Trek universe, and why? Obviously, my favorite captain. I identify with him more. I thought that he was stoic, and he made hard decisions. When he was taken over by the Borg, you could feel that pain. And then when he came back, he was so bitter, but yet really directed. You know, he really wanted to get in there and do the right thing. So, because he's my favorite, I'm going to say Picard is the most influential. And I think that it's simply because he had the stones, right? He had the stones to get the things done that needed to be done. And he was smart and charming and witty.
So, kind of following on from that, what would you say your favorite episode of Star Trek is, you know, across all of the different series?
My favorite episode is actually All Good Things. I think that I remember when I found out that they were going to cancel TNG. A, I was really upset. Of course, everybody else in the universe who was a Star Trek fan was also quite upset to hear that. So I remember watching it, and it tied the entire series together so perfectly. You know, how they ended up going into that first episode and kind of clarifying stuff, and I got to see all of those characters and what they were going to be, you know, later on in life. I thought that it was such a good episode that when I saw Generations, I felt that it couldn't even compare to Alcatraz.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there in the community that will agree with you on that one, and I think you're going to get some serious rep points for that one.
Let's hear it for rep points.
All right, getting back to some more serious questions here. What exactly does your role of community manager encompass? Do you specifically manage the website and forums only, or are you also responsible for designing mechanisms for community inside Star Trek Online?
You know what, that's a really good question. I think that a lot of people aren't sure what community managers do, and for every company it's different. I do actually both of those things. So I do manage the website and the forums, and I make sure that things that I'm working on right now, I'm trying to make sure that our community has a really good time while we wait for this game. So I will be coming up with updates for the community. I'll be coming up with contests, little things that we can do here and there. I'm also going to be creating and organizing meet and greets when we go to conferences so that our community can come and meet our developers. Beyond that, I will also, when we start getting into the play where people are actually in the game, I'll be organizing events in the game as well as making sure that people are pretty happy and the experience that they're having. Everything. I wear many hats.
Okay, so moving on. Once Star Trek Online is launched, are you going to be responsible for moderating the community inside Star Trek Online as well as on the forums? And if so, do you have any ideas how you're going to accomplish that?
Yes, I will be. I will be responsible for that. I have a plan right now that I'm not going to go into detail on because, as you may know, in the MMO space, things change so rapidly. Sometimes a small change in the game will create a large ripple effect where things need to be changed within the community, within the marketing, within, you know, design, everything. So I have a very tentative plan of things that we're going to be doing once we launch. But I am not going to share those details yet. We will leave room for surprise.
So I guess that means we can have another interview later?
You might be able to have another interview. We'll see how the rest of this podcast goes.
Okay, on to the game. Have you had a chance to play the current internal build of Star Trek Online? Of course, we've all seen the screenshots and the videos, but can you give us some idea of what it's like? Perhaps tell us what the first 5 or 10 minutes of the game consists of?
I can't tell you what the first 5 or 10 minutes of the game consists of. However, I can tell you that, yes, I have played the internal build. And, again, it's really great. It's really great. The game is beautiful, and the storylines are very cool and interesting, very episodic. Beyond that, no, I can't tell you much about it.
I guess we'll save that for the other interview as well.
Yeah. You should totally save that for the other interview, yeah.
I think we all understand that at this point in development, there's not a whole lot that you can say. So I don't think many people are going to hold the crypticness against you.
I really feel strongly that you should give updates to your community and big things. For instance, the ship update that we just did, that's really good, solid information that they're going to want to know about, right? But
oh, yeah.
When it comes down to gameplay and things that you can do inside the game, I know as a gamer myself, I would really rather be able to explore that and have that first experience that's totally my own and not biased based on what somebody else says. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So I can tell you that it's really cool. I'm really enjoying my time in game, but I'm not going to tell you what I've been doing because you have to explore that for yourself. That's part of Star Trek, right? New exploration.
Okay, so with Atari having now bought out Cryptic Studios, Has that had any direct effect on the day-to-day operations of Star Trek Online? And have there been any huge direction changes?
You know what? I'm really glad that you asked that. I know that there's been some concern on the forums from our community about this, about Atari acquiring Cryptic. And I can tell you quite honestly that there has been no direction change with the game whatsoever. They have been amazing in that they said, listen, you guys have got a good thing going. We really like the direction that you're taking. You're obviously doing really well on your own, so just go forward with that. The one thing that it has given us is, you know, we have more resources to make sure that this game is as great as we can possibly make it.
Well, that's one thing I'm sure Atari has a lot of resources. So moving on, our next question was going to be, is there going to be a public beta? But now that you've launched your latest competition and are giving away a beta slot, we know that there will be. So I guess what we just have to ask is, have any dates for beta been decided?
You know, guys, I totally can't tell you that because we're in the development stage still. And again, things change very rapidly in the development stage, and so we haven't determined yet when our beta is going to go forth. But I will keep everybody updated because we do want to get people playing the game. We're very excited about it, and as soon as we know, then we'll let you guys know.
Great. Okay, so I've got a community-submitted question here from a forum member called Enki862. He asks, can you tell us something truly mind-blowing about Star Trek Online?
The entire game will truly blow your mind.
I guess that pretty much sums it up.
It falls back into the... I just can't give details out right now. You probably realized from reading interviews and dev blogs and stuff like that that we're trying to create an atmosphere of surprise discovery. So we're not really talking a lot about the internal mechanics and gameplay just yet.
Another community question here from Jay Relo. He's one of my favorite folks. He asks, what steps do you take or what system is in place to filter the extreme and sometimes unhealthy fanaticism of the Star Trek Online community whilst still being able to gauge well-thought-out suggestions for gameplay, structure, and overall direction for the game itself?
That is really an amazing question. When I was working on the Junkgate project, I thought that I had the most extreme fans in my community that I could ever possibly ask for.
Not.
And I was wrong. I should have known because I am a Star Trek fan myself, and I will go through in some points and think, well, that's not what I saw from the episode. No, you need to go this route. Because I'm a gamer myself, I do that with every game anyway. I think that people in general are very opinionated, and we always think that we know what's best. So with that in mind, you have to have a lot of patience. I understand that the fans of this game want it to be the best game that they could ever possibly imagine because they want to play this game. And knowing that, you go through the suggestions and you let them know that their suggestions are appreciated. We're not going to use every single that is submitted to us. Obviously, we have a direction and a game plan that is already in place and well underway. But there are some that come through that are really good ideas, and the team does take them into consideration in their design. So I think it's just a matter of managing expectations. My community is fabulous. I really, really enjoy reading the forums. I enjoy the hundreds of PMs that I get every day. When you get something this large coming forward and this anticipated, you're going to just have some extreme fanaticism. It's that simple. However, with that said, they need to know that we appreciate their comments and we appreciate the suggestions that they put forth, and we're grateful that they are as excited as we are for this product. So that's really it. As long as everybody keeps calm and they're patient, then everything goes forward pretty well.
Just on a side note there, I noted recently that the STO forums recently surpassed 70,000 members. Has the rate at which people are signing up for your forums shocked you at all?
At first, when I first took the position, I was doing the metrics so that, you know, I could kind of do a little bit of forecasting on our progression and where we wanted to be and, you know, what we needed to do to retain all of our members. And I saw the number, and it boggled my mind. It shouldn't, because, again, Star Trek Online was my most anticipated upcoming MMO. So it doesn't surprise me that it's also other people's. The community is growing really fast, and it's exciting. It's really exciting because the more members we have, the more fun we can have. I have already received over 300 submissions for the Planet Background Contest. That's crazy, right? That's a really big number, and the game or the contest has only been running for less than a week. So it makes my job a lot more challenging, of course, but it also is really exciting for me because that means that we can really spread the excitement for this game a lot more quickly.
Cool. Okay, Owen, we're just going to take a short break now and run a couple of adverts. But folks, everyone that's listening, just stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes where we will continue this wonderful interview with Nicole Hamlet. So stay tuned.
I sat down with a few Lotus Fleet members, and I asked them one question. What is Lotus Fleet to you?
Lotus Fleet is dedication to its members, from the highest ranking member all the way down to the lowest cadet.
Lotus Fleet to me is about teaching and learning.
Well, Lotus Fleet to me is pride in professionalism.
Lotus Fleet to me is great friends and a nice place to hang out.
Sign up today at lotusfleet.com or find our thread at the STO boards.
Howdy folks, this is Bob, a.k.a. Captain Robert J. Collins from the United Federation of Planets Defense Fleet, a group with seasoned and new players alike. We're a Star Trek simulation group interested in attracting simmers. What is a Star Trek simulation group, you might ask? Simply put, collaborative writing. You and several other players essentially write your own story, your own Star Trek adventure. You could join me and the USS Tiburon, an Excelsior-class starship, or perhaps any of the other ships that we currently offer in the setting 2382. Come by and visit us at http://www.ufpdf.org. That's http://www.ufpdf.org.
Captain, incoming message from the Ares Fleet.
The Ares Fleet?
Yes, sir.
Put it on screen.
On screen.
Hello there, Captain. We are sending on emergency power, so our signal is not that strong.
Shall I reroute more power to the communication and try to compensate the flux capacitor to boost up the signal, sir?
Yeah.
Hello, Ares Fleet. We are having trouble receiving your transmission. Can you repeat the message?
Yes, sir. I am contacting you to tell you about the Dutch community for Star Trek Online. This community has several goals. First of all, they are translating all available information about Star Trek Online in their native language, trying to give all the members as much information as needed. And second of all, they are building their own fleet, the Ares Fleet, making themselves ready for the release of MMO Star Trek Online. You can reach us at www.st-online.nl.
You are listening to Hailing Frequencies, the fastest growing podcast on the internet.
Okay, folks, we are back from that break, and we are still here with Nicole Hamlet, a.k.a. Arwen, from the Star Trek Online dev team. So before the break, our question was, have you been shocked by the number of registrations you're getting on your forum at the moment? And the next question kind of leads on from that. I'm just curious to know how many moderators you have on your team at the moment, and how long each one of them is spending each day moderating the Star Trek Online forum.
Okay. Right now, I have two part-time moderators other than myself, and they spend a lot of time moderating our forums. We have very passionate members in our community, and they want to make sure that things are kept civil. And so there are quite a few instances where our moderators have to go in and, you know, take care of things, prune threads, close them, you know, give friendly warnings and put things back on course. They spend a lot of time each day going through our forums because there is just a massive amount of traffic there. So anybody who's listening to the podcast, please be nice to your moderators. Please.
Yeah, and for you listeners out there, don't forget to get your Planetary Exploration Contest submission in right away.
Yes, that as well, please.
Okay, so we talked about this a little bit earlier. You recently premiered a new Ship of the Line segment on your website. Are we going to see any new types of updates in the coming weeks and months?
That is something that I'm really excited about. I keep saying that I'm excited about stuff, but seriously, I'm just that excited. We have, I've just drawn up our content plan for the next couple of months, and I'm talking to the developers now to see the content that I can put out there, because I would like to make sure that at least once a month I bring you something new that you haven't seen before. And we got a lot, obviously, we got a lot of feedback on our initial, that's our signature ship, so that will be the main ship that you see whenever, you know, whenever we're doing interviews and whatnot. But that's not even the coolest, biggest ship that we have. I'm not going to tell you what the coolest, biggest ship that we have is. But as we're moving forward towards development, you'll start seeing a lot more stuff from us. New assets, new kinds of ships. Obviously, we've got the timeline that we will be continuing to update, and we will probably be branching out and giving you little tidbits on the people who are in the timeline so that you can get a better idea of what's been happening up to this point where we launch.
As a quick aside, the Cryptic Timeline updates have been really exciting and have provided an amazingly dramatic backdrop for folks who roleplay in the fleets, like the crews over at Lotus Fleet, and even for us here at Hailing Frequency. Our fleet radio segments are in-character segments that are being created from the framework of the new timeline updates. Anyway, it's been nice having the updates, and it's been a lot of fun getting into the spirit of things.
Yes, you know what it is. And I think that it's probably the one piece of content that I enjoy the most because, of course, as a Star Trek fan, I want to know what happened between Nemesis and the launch of our game. And CBS has been really amazing in that they let us run with a lot of new fiction. And our content writers are really, really amazing and very imaginative. And you will walk by Christine Thompson's desk. I think that you saw a Meet the Team on her last month. She is the person who writes all of our timelines. And her desk is just covered with canon from Star Trek. So definitely show your appreciation. Tell her how wonderful she is on the forums because I think that she's awesome.
Okay, so we have kind of a follow-up question to that from a community member named Calton. He asks, in the same light, will there be a Spotlight On segment on the STO website for interesting planets, locations, captains, crews, etc.?
Maybe. It's a definite, it's a definite possibility, actually. We are discussing stuff like that right now, and definite possibility that you will start seeing little vignettes of different ships, captains, NPCs within the game, maybe little offshoots from the timelines of people who have been featured there.
Awesome. So moving on, do you have any current plans for any new gameplay videos? And if so, will we be seeing anything soon?
Yes to both questions, actually. Yes.
Great. So folks, look out for some new gameplay videos soon. Moving on yet again. A couple of months ago, you launched the first competition on the Star Trek Online website, giving people a chance to win a lifetime subscription to STO. But that competition was limited to North America only. And you've also just launched a new competition, Planetary Content Submission Competition. But once again, that competition's limited to North America. So do you have any plans for launching some worldwide competitions or European competitions?
This is something that I'm working on right now. I know that obviously we have a worldwide fan base, and people from every country are really interested in the game, and they want to participate in the community, and I definitely want them to as well. The reason that we've been we've been keeping it to North America right now is because of legalities. Every country has different legalities on who can win prizes, how much they can be for, and whatnot. And rather than try to guess, we've been going forth with the standardized rules that you see on the Planet Background Contest. However, with that said, I'm working on getting some stuff done for the European countries. And moving forward, I'm going to try to see what we can do about opening things up globally. But no promises there. I am working on that.
That's fantastic. I guess it would kind of suck to win something from Cryptic Studios and then get thrown in jail for it.
Yeah, that would kind of suck, huh? And we would definitely feel bad about that. So we want to make sure that we're above the board when we give out our prizes. I know it doesn't seem fair, but we're trying to do the best we can to keep everything on par with the country's, you know, legalese and make sure that we don't violate any laws.
Okay, some fleet and community inside Star Trek Online questions. Clans and guilds make up a huge portion of the Star Trek gaming community, and several MMOs on the market today have support for clans and guilds. What kind of support will Star Trek Online have for guilds, fleets, clans, etc.?
So we do plan on supporting them. That is a definite. I don't think that in today's market you can actually make an MMO that does not support clans and guilds, fleets, etc., you know, whatever you choose to name them. With that said, we haven't revealed our design yet for that, and that will be something that will be coming later. We'll start talking about fleets, etc., a couple months down the line, and then you'll get new information then.
Okay, and once Star Trek Online is launched, how do you plan to manage the community for Star Trek Online? Will you have to go to the forums for updates, or will you get updates in-game via Starfleet Command or the Klingon High Council?
That is a really good question, and a really good idea.
Or from hailing frequency.
Or from hailing frequency.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? We're going to continue updating the website. That, I think, is really important because, you know, when you're at work and you can't get into the game, you want to know what's going on. And so the easiest way for you to do that is to find out through the website. However, with that said, I can't say that we won't put stuff in-game in terms of updates. That's actually a really good idea. I'm going to go talk to my guys about that.
All right, and just finally, there are a lot of folks who have mixed opinions about Star Trek Online. Some think it's going to be the next great MMO, the Wowbuster, and others think it's not going to be so great. So, as a Trekker yourself, and as someone who has seen Star Trek Online, what can you say to reassure those that are worried?
Coming from, you know, a media background, having that behind me, seeing what I've seen from the dailies, being in the playtests, playing the game myself, I really believe that this is going to be a true Star Trek experience. I know that there are probably some really anticipated things and design plans that our community wants to see in the game that might not make it right now, but the team is working really hard to make sure that when you get into the game, not only do you have fun, that you are able to explore, you're able to customize, you are able to make this your own Star Trek experience. And I really don't think that our community is going to be disappointed. As far as being a Wowbuster, WoW is such an anomaly, right? What is it, up to 12 million subscribers right now? I don't think that anybody ever anticipated that it's going to be so hugely successful. And I think that people who consider their MMOs to WoW are always going to be fairly disappointed. I think that the average successful MMO gets a quarter of the subscribers and the complete and utter shock value that WoW has given us. Do I think that Star Trek Online is going to be an enormously fantastic game? Absolutely. Absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind that we are going to put out a great product.
Okay, well, there you have it, folks. That was Nicole Hamlet on the upcoming MMO Star Trek Online. So I'd just like to extend a huge thanks to Nicole, of course, for doing the interview, and Tracy Schnitker, or Snitker, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that, at Reverb Communications for working with us to organise that interview over the past week or two. And she's also going to help us organise some more interviews in the future. A big thank you to both of you. So we're going to take another short break now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes where we're going to start winding down this show. So stay tuned, folks, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
This is for the guys who forged their own destiny in the wild frontiers of space.
I guess I said I liked ya, Dad. He was a real hard worker, moved right up the ladder. Well, there ain't no guarantees here. You get what you get, and when the line breaks down, have a cigarette. Is anybody out here like me, who's dying for the chance to break free? It's building in your factory head, but all your dreams already dead. So many here before you have worked this machine, ratchet hands and elbows, been keeping it clean. Yeah, you better lose that ego, it's eating you up. You got a dreamer's heart with the worker's luck. There's always someone out there like you, who's dying for the chance to break through. It's filling in your factory head. Already dead. Yeah.
This is Sharon Savine from Star Trek Helena Chronicles. Join me as Captain Faisal, commanding the USS Helena, on a journey that will take us through anguish, pain, joy, and danger, charting new worlds of the former Briar Patch and much more. Helena Chronicles. See more at www.helenachronicles.com.
We're back. although lots of people reported problems hearing that interview.
That's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, but the nature of the internet and
maybe this is a good and bad time to ask for donations.
No, we'll cover that a little bit later. But for those of you that had problems hearing the interview, do not fear. I am uploading the MP3 right now as we speak, as we transmit, and it will be available within 30 minutes. So keep an eye on the forum. I'm going to mass mail it out as soon as it's posted. So you'll all be able to download that 30-minute segment on its own and just listen to the interview. And then it'll also be included with the show when it's posted, probably on Monday or Tuesday. So do not fear. You will get to hear. And that rhymes. I'm sorry. Nova, Athos, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. What did you guys think of that interview? You were able to hear it, I guess.
Well, it's always great to hear from anyone on the development team or anything to do with the development team. You know, it's really encouraging that she was a Star Trek fan. She grew up as one, and she's this excited about the game as it is. Some people could argue, well, that's her job. She needs to be. But no, you know, you can pick up if someone is just playing that they're excited. So it's encouraging to me, and should be to all the Star Trek fans, that a fellow fan is this excited about a game that's not even finished yet. And, you know, so that's very encouraging. Whatever doubts, you know, I had, I think that should be assuaged, that, you know, a fellow fan is this into something she's doing.
It seems to me, knowing that she came from Jumpgate Evolution and was the community lead over there, that, you know, she's kind of stepping into familiar territory when dealing with sci-fi MMOs. You know, I'm very pleased and happy to hear that, mainly because, you know, the MMO market is so saturated with, you know, with fantasy MMOs.
Yeah.
And really what it comes down to is sci-fi MMOs and fantasy MMOs are really two different types of games. You know, and it's really hard to come from one and carry naturally and fluidly into another. So I'm very, I'm comforted by her experience and her knowledge and her understanding, as well as, you know, her past history with Trek. I did find it kind of funny that she mentioned that, you know, her dad would make her sit down and watch the original series and things like that. And then, of course, some years later, when The Next Generation came out and she was, quite a bit older, she felt a connection, you know, and I think that in itself describes, you know, what Star Trek is to a great many people and a great many fans in their hearts, you know, is that they can think of some fond memory that Star Trek, you know, that they experienced with Star Trek, with people that they love, and people, and those experiences and those memories, and those are memories that are incredibly strong in the minds of people that then carry into adult life. And, you know, look at her now. She's one of 40 people that are, you know, that are having the unique opportunity of experiencing the next generation of how Star Trek will be presented to the masses. And, you know, she's an incredibly lucky individual. You know, and I'll go ahead and say it, she sounds very attractive too. I mean, I think everybody is thinking it, I'll just say it. So, I'm very pleased and very happy that we have a community leader such as her that is going to be paving the way for us to see new and exciting things inside of the STO development as well as the game.
Well, personally, I like the fact she was a fan of Picard, so more power to her right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that comment she made about he's got the stones to get it, you know, get things done. I love that.
Absolutely.
Very, very nice. Yeah.
Well, and I also agree that, you know, she should consider herself, lucky to be among the pantheon. Anything that has to do with Star Trek these days is looked at by academia, by historians. And in my opinion, this MMO is no different. It's another page in Star Trek history, and it's going to be very closely watched. So she's a part of history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
We're all going to be part of history with this.
Yeah. So just while I remember, I want to point out that Hailing Frequency is and always has been a community podcast. A couple of people have PM'd me recently asking, you know, can we advertise on Hailing Frequency? And the answer is yes. Yes, you can. We're always bugging, we're always shouting out and bugging people on the podcast to send in adverts, send in audio clips, send your banners over to us, and we will advertise you as long as you're related to Star Trek Gaming or Star Trek. So I'd just like to remind people to, you know, if you run a clan or a guild, or if you're part of a clan or a guild, send in an audio advert. We are a community medium, so use us for that. I want to move us on now, and while we've got Athos here today, I would like to take the opportunity to speak to him about the Lotus Fleet Academy. Athos, you are the commander, not commandant, commander of the Lotus Fleet Academy. So I guess you're in the best position to tell us a little bit about the Academy. So, I mean, first of all, you know, there's probably people listening that have never heard of Lotus Fleet Academy before, and they're like, you know, what the heck is that? So just give us like a little brief overview of what the Lotus Fleet Academy is.
Well, brief, that's going to be the difficult part. Well, first of all, I think I should start off saying Lotus Fleet Academy is completely free and open to anyone and everyone. Lotus Fleet does not recruit out of the Academy, so we actually have several different fleets sending their members in to go through our Academy to learn more about Star Trek. And that's really been the whole point. You know, our year one is very basic, if you will. There's a couple of more difficult courses, but very basic overview of the things you'll see in the Star Trek universe. You know, what is a tricorder? What is a phaser? You know, what's a hypospray do? It's things like that. Just for people that maybe don't watch Star Trek that much or don't really know, but hey, this new MMO is coming out, so I want to learn a little bit about it. And then it progresses into year 2, 3, and 4. It gets more difficult, more in-depth. But overall, from almost every comment I've received back, people have thoroughly enjoyed the Academy. They've learned quite a bit about the Star Trek experience and knowledge. So, you know, that's a project that was started, you know, way back when the fleet formed. We had worked on the Academy, we being myself and a team, and, you know, 10 months. It was around 10 months in development, and we finally launched it, and we're actually over 100 users. I think we're around 116 users as it is. So quite a few people have found it, interesting. So yeah, that's the generic basic overview. You know, some of the courses you'll find, like I've already gone into, are very basic. Then you get into, you know, throughout every Star Trek series, the helmsman will say, or the tactical officer will say, you know, there's a ship decloaking bearing 275 mark 27, and everybody just accepts it. Okay, I think some people would understand what that actually means, but those coordinates actually means that a ship is coming out of warp or decloaking towards the port side of the ship and above. And we have a course that'll teach you that.
Anson, why have you turned around? I thought you said you understood.
Exactly. So, you know, and you'll understand what it means to do the roll and pitch and yaw of the ship. So, you know, a little more understanding about that type of things. Or what is port? What is starboard? What's the ventral hull versus dorsal hull? You know, it really goes into that. Or if you're an engineering guy, you know, what is the magnetic constriction segment? What's the vertical tension member, the phase adjustment coil of the warp drive? It goes into that. You know, we had quite a big group of dedicated individuals that, you know, really went off when it came to writing these courses, and we utilized, you know, our assets, which they're all credited for, you know, Memory Alpha, the technical manuals, things like that, and really just combined everything into, you know, a seamless course. And we're still growing, and we're still writing. It's not like the Academy is at any point stationary. Mm-hmm. We've got over 60 courses as it is. Now, Of course, you're not going to take all of them in a program plan. We have things called program plans. And it's essentially, you know, in order to graduate in engineering, you take these courses. But each user, each cadet, gets to choose from a list. And what we'll say is, say, okay, in year two for engineering, you're required to take two core courses. Well, you have a selection of four. So you get to go in and say, I want to take these two. And that's kind of how it flows the entire academy, and then you graduate.
So they can kind of like specialize in specific areas.
Right, or look into what they are interested in versus what we say they have to take. We're trying to really avoid that. You know, year one is very set because it's very basic. We want people to have the basic understanding and knowledge of what's going on. But after that, it really is a unique experience for every cadet. And then post-graduation, if they want to come back and take every other course in the academy, they are more than welcome to do so. There's no you know, restriction on that. The only thing is we're not going to track them after they graduate. So they can just come back at their leisure and take whatever courses they want. Now, this is actually perfect timing because we've recently completely reworked the academy and the program plans. We used to require a thesis in year four for each major, you know, science, medical, engineering, tactical. And it wasn't like a normal thesis. Everybody, there's a stigma associated with that word. Really, there was no minimum or maximum length of the thing. All we wanted was, hey, pick a topic. It could be the warp coil. And talk about as much as you possibly can or as thoroughly as you can. And there you go. That's it. But we've decided that it's kind of become a little bit of a bottleneck and maybe has kept some people away. So thesis courses are gone. There's no more writing or it required for the academy. You have many courses that are multiple choice questions, true false, things like that. So it or very short answer one word deals. So it should streamline the academy. It should speed it up. It should allow people to you know, learn as well as enjoy without putting too much effort into the courses. Now, of course, each cadet determines how much effort they put in and how much time they spend. And there is also no time constraint. We don't say you have to do this by this time. You can do it at your own pace, at your own time. So really, like I said, most of the comments that have come back to me have pretty much all been, you know, I really enjoyed the academy. I've learned a lot more. And these are coming from veteran Trek fans that have seen all of the episodes, and they still learn something about Star Trek. So that's pretty much what the academy is, what it offers. You know, at the end, when you graduate, you get a unique graduation diploma. And these are very, very high quality and well-designed diplomas. They've been gaining popularity among the community in general. If you do so well in the academy, and the cutoff was 96% or better, you get the highest honors diploma. So there's a little incentive for doing well in the academy, and your name would be posted on our site as far as being an academic honors graduate, things like that. But your name goes in, your major obviously is there. For me, it was scientific studies, and then you get to choose what goes on your diploma for your specialization. And in your program plans, it'll list, here are all the various examples of specialties. You know, for engineering, it could be warp theorist. It could be systems diagnostic analyst. For scientific studies, astronomy, you know, biology, medical could be surgery, you know, all kinds of different ones. And we will put that on your diploma. So it's a little unique just for you. So, you know, I've got mine printed off on a high-quality printer, color printer with on cardstock, and it looks pretty daggone good.
Now, were we mistaken? Was that not a Lotus Fleet diploma in the recent cryptic video? Dayavadev, yeah.
Yes. You actually saw behind the shoulder on the hanging on the wall one of our command diplomas. Right? I think it was a command diploma.
Yeah.
But it was one of our diplomas, definitely. So
that was awesome. You know,
It is encouraging to see that we're being noticed, for sure. You know, and the beauty is, you know, anybody can go in, and unless you self-identify who you are, we're not going to know you. If you're part of Cryptic, if you're part of another fleet, if you don't tell us you're part of whatever organization, we're not going to know. You know, all we've got is your login and, you know, your email, because that's part of the login. to confirm you actually say you are who you say you are, but that's about it. So, you know, you can keep quiet and go through the academy, and there you go. You're still going to get a diploma at the end.
Yeah. It sounds like a really amazing system. I had a chance to flick through it a couple of days ago. Not as much time as I would have liked to, but, I mean, it's just an amazing system, and the way that you've built it up as well in such a short period of time. I think what I'm actually going to do at some point is put a link for that on the main Hailing Frequency website on the left-hand menu somewhere.
Right. I know we'd certainly appreciate that, and we can hook you up with one of our graphics if you would like to use it.
Yeah, that would be great. So where can people actually find the Academy? How do they get to it?
Well, you can always go to www.lotusfleet.com and then click on the Academy link from there.
Yeah.
Or just lotusfleet.com/forums. We have a link from that page. Or okay. Just directly go to .com/CUI.
Okay.
That's Charlie Uniform India. So we right. prefer you go through our forums because you need to register on there so you can talk to our professors. But, yeah.
Professors, interesting.
Our professor staff, is there to answer any questions and help develop the courses, help perfect them. Once you know, and we're up to well over 100 cadets or users, if you will. You know, so there's quite a bit of people, but the professors are there to answer questions and to grade and where needed, and also to continually improve upon the courses we already have. You know, we've got an internal auditor that'll go through, look for grammar, look for spelling errors, look for ways to improve upon. So even though we're continually still writing courses, we're going back and trying to improve upon what we already have as well. And then we have our dean staff, our mm-hmm. academy dean and associate dean. They're the ones that hand out the course keys and the tracking.
How many cadets have you got going through the academy, or how many have been through it already, in fact?
Well, they have graduated. That's around 30 mm-hmm. that have graduated. But again, we have over 100, I think it's close to 16 actual cadets and or users
wow.
that are logged on.
Yeah.
So it's certainly gained...
popularity.
It's gotten out there.
Yeah,
popularity. And... you know, it's just a matter of, you know, the cadets themselves saying, okay, I really want to get through this. Some have just flown through it in, I think, a week or maybe 2 weeks. It's very quick if you dedicate yourself like that.
Yeah.
Others have taken their time, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we get closer and closer to the release of Star Trek Online, it would be really nice to get what information they do release to us about how the game is going to operate, controls and such, integrated into the Academy, and maybe that'll really spark some folks' interest as well.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. We've tried to integrate what information we do have, the historical updates about the pathway to 2408 or 3 or whatever it is. 9, thank you. We've integrated those historical updates into a course already. So when you're going through, you're going to get the most recent story and up to date. It's all right there in a story format. You just read through it. The cryptic, I'm calling it the Ships of the Line course. I think that's what they call it too. So when they release these ships, it's going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, we're trying to integrate as much as possible about Star Trek Online for members to go through so that they can be as up-to-date as possible on what's going on, and then jump into the mix of, you know, if they haven't already registered on StarTrekOnline.com, they're able to do that. Or if the game, let's say, you know, because the Academy is going to run well after the game is released, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll be able to jump right into the game. And
yeah.
that's kind of the whole point of this Academy as well, is to allow people that don't know anything about Star Trek to be able to learn and then jump into the game, to take what they know and jump in, so that they're not lost in the realm of Trek.
Okay. That sounds
brilliant. And it'll definitely
brilliant.
Do
sounds
it
brilliant.
Well. It definitely does it well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of cadets would agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Just try to keep it going here.
Yeah. Okay. On that note, everybody, go check out the Lotus Fleet Academy. Like I said, I had a look at it myself, and it's absolutely brilliant. So much detail. And I mean, how could you not want to go and take a look at it after everything that Athos just told us? I mean, it just sounds amazing. And on that note, we have rapidly run out of time. That is all the time that we have for this show. But just before we do go, I want to take the opportunity to thank everybody that has donated to Hailing Frequency for the month of January, helping out with our server bills and all of the other costs that are involved with running the website and podcast. And I would like to put the call out for anybody else. We're always in need of donations, whether it's 50 cent or, you know, $50. You know, we're...
Oh, you're so street, Zach.
Every little
I
bit
I did notice
helps.
The 50 cent there.
Did he? Yeah, he did just say 50 cent.
Mm. Yeah. So anybody that is able to donate 50 cents or $50, you know, $1, $2, $10, every little bit helps. Helps keep our servers up and running, helps us to upgrade our servers where needed, because, you know, they run a little bit slow sometimes. Helps us to, you know, when if there's anything left over, helps us to get new equipment. Donations helped us get to Vegas last year with cameras and shotgun mics and all manners of equipment. So if anybody could help, go to the forums, hailingfrequency.co.uk/boards, and hit that treasury button. Something else that I just remembered, kind of funky, that happened a couple of days ago. Sitting here minding my own business, and who do I get an email from? None other than Paramount. That was quite interesting.
Oh, that's right.
Almost.
Sorry, I was half asleep when that came through. So this is. I'm going to really be paying attention now.
Yeah. So yeah, they emailed and they found Hailing Frequency and our StoZone.net website, and they were like, you know, we really like your website and we really like your community, and we want to set you up. You know, Star Trek 11's coming out this year, and we want to set you up with interviews with the cast and crew of Star Trek 11, and we want to get you some videos and some screen caps and just other exclusive content for you to release on your website. So, you know, it's not exactly what we'll normally do. We're normally Star Trek gaming, but, you know, an opportunity like this walks up and knocks on your door and you don't exactly say go away. So in the coming weeks or months, we're hopefully going to release a series of specials, Hailing Frequency specials, where we will publicize and have interviews with the people involved in the new Star Trek movie. And that's quite exciting, guys.
Exactly.
Indeed. So look out for that, folks. Yeah, Nova.
I've got to wonder, wonder that if our coverage of STO chip with Reverb and Crit in some way led to Paramount making contact with Hailing Frequency.
Maybe. I mean, we have been doing a lot over the past... Well, we've been doing a lot always, but especially over the last 12 months, we've really knocked it up a couple of notches. So, yeah.
All the hard work, huh?
That said, look out for all of that stuff. Be excited with us. As promised earlier, I'm going to get that interview posted with Arwen in the next couple of minutes. I've got the thread ready to go, so I'm just going to hit post in a moment. So I'd like to thank Athos for joining us today. It was very nice of you to come and join us for this two-hour show, talk about the Academy with us, and we would love to have you back at some point, as your schedule permits.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you so much for being here, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I talked right over you, Athos. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. I was just thanking you guys for inviting me to the show, and absolutely, any time in the future, I'd love to come back as a guest for you.
Excellent. You can be a guest host and help us out with our shows, maybe. So our next show is going to be in 2 weeks' time on February 7th. February 7th will be our next show, same time, same place, hailingfrequency.co.uk, and that's it. We will see you next.
We'll leave the landing bay lights on for you.
We'll leave the landing bay lights on. We'll play one more Fleet Radio, and then I'll switch it back over to the stream. So, from myself, bye-bye, everybody. Say goodbye, folks.
Bye. Ciao.
We'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's just a subtle eclipse to me.
Fleet Radio.
Sports.